Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so
damn.
Tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn.
I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan.
So
yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers, and you can't hold us down. We hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did. I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Thursday, Throwback Thursday, December the 22nd, 2016. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you. I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, kind of going in line with the theme this week. We've been talking about what motivates you. We've been talking about, do you have the right to be happy? Can you give yourself, have you given yourself the authority to be happy? I mean, that sounds like a simple question, right? But 99% of the people, they can't be happy because their subconscious brain won't let them be happy because that violates their belief system of being happy. Think about it. It will come to you. Trust me. So today we're talking about if you labor in vain, or is your labor in vain? What do I mean by that, is your labor in vain? You see, if your labor is not in love, then your labor is in vain. Now, that sounds like common sense, right? But what I'm finding out is that common sense ain't common. Because you see, brothers and sisters, you have not given yourself the authorization, the thumbs up, the okay to be in love. Now, I know you think you have, because I used to think the same shiznits too. Because, you see, once you over, under, and understand my terms and my definitions that match up with the standard. Because you remember that series that I did way back in the day, I guess about 6 months or so, where I revealed, explained, illuminated, and simplified God's grand, or God Almighty grand unification theorem. It's called GAGU. That breaks down the theory of everything, which is what I've been teaching and preaching ever since I stumbled across it. And so this series that I'm doing right now that deals with the biology of the temple, and the series I'm going to do after this in the early part of January that talks about the biology of your behavior, is that it is impossible for the neurons and the protons, the neurons, the quarks, the quinos, all of the building blocks that make you you, they are controlled by a disposition. So your labor, when you go to work every day you wake up and you go to work, and you are pursuing a dream that's not yours. Since your spirit knows that that dream is not yours, your spirit is not there. The reason that I know that is because of the fact that you ain't happy. Now, my definition of happy is different from yours. See, my definition of happy means that you wake up every day and your blood is boiling. It's like, you know, everybody knows how you feel when you're pissed off, because everybody's angry right now. You know, how do I know? All I got to do is just say something and you will disconnect this call. All I got to do is just, you ain't got no grace, no mercy. None of us do. We all are like 3 seconds away from punching somebody. Like, let somebody cut you off in traffic. Let somebody call you out your name. Let somebody walk up to you and just accidentally bump into you at the mall. You're not going to look at them with any grace. You're not going to say, oh, excuse me. You know, no, that's not going to be your first thought. Most of us are walking around with a chip on our shoulder. Most of us have the I wish a Negro would mentality. You go out and you hope somebody says something crazy to you. You just want to go off. Let the clerk mess up your order. Go to a restaurant and order some food, and they put onions on it when you didn't want onions. Man, you're going to go off. You're ready to freaking turn over chairs and tables. You ready to pounce. Because why? You're not in love. Because this frequency, the reason that my life has changed is because the understanding of this, because it automatically produces a gamma wave state. Now, I didn't know that up until doing my research for the current book. Now, there's different states. There's alpha, there's beta, there's delta. The brain, that your brain vibrates automatically in the gamma state, the Christ consciousness, automatically when you are in a state of altruism, automatically. Now, that means your immune system is up high. That means that the chances of you getting sick is very low. That means somebody pissing you off is almost impossible. That means that when you go through life, you are vibrating in a stable emotional state. That means that you can't be pulled and lured into a fight, because you are oscillating and you're vibrating in a particular mental disposition that says love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Now, the show that I did yesterday when I broke down the psychology of the self, if you didn't listen to that show, that's a must listen. You have to listen to that show. Not for me, but for you. You have to. It's impossible for you to be successful in life without understanding yourself. So there are 7 keys that we talked about in yesterday's show. When I was doing my Clarinomics show, and doing the Clarinomics, I broke down the 7 keys for you to be successful. It's impossible to be successful without these 7 keys. Number 1, you got to have an ownership mentality. Number 2, you got to be conscientious. That means that you got to finish what you start. Number 3, you got to understand risk management. That means that you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Number 4, you got to be creative. That means that you got to be able to make decisions on your inside revelation instead of your outside stimulation. Right now, something happens, you respond. Something happens, you respond. There's no gumption. There's no proactiveness. It's just reactiveness. You just react into stimuli. That doesn't work. not to be successful, not so that you can oscillate and vibrate on a higher Christ consciousness without doing this kundalini magic, standing on your head, scratching your butt, and saying 15 Hail Marys. Now, you can do all of that. You can go get some freaking machine or some technique, or you can oscillate and you can vibrate yourself, and you can control yourself from the inside instead of being stimulated from the outside. Number five, you got to be confident. If you notice my tone, my speech has changed. Now, when I say stuff, I piss off more people because, see, I used to be nice. I used to be concerned with what other people thought. Them days gone, homie. Now, if it's just me, my foe, and no more, it's just me, my foe, and no more. I'm cool. I don't need like I used to. See, I used to need an audience. I used to need Facebook likes. I used to need people listening to my show. I used to need. See, I was a needy person. I was walking around thinking that my life depended upon how you saw me and how you viewed me and whether you paid me or not. See, now you're not my source any longer. Not you personally, but, you know, I'm speaking in general. The world is not my source. My source comes from me. I determine the outcome. I am the director, and I am the star in my own movie. Everybody else is just extras. Now, it should be the same place in your world, too. Your world should evolve around you. Number six, management, household management of the soul. It's called claironomics. You don't have that, you can't be successful. Your labor is in vain. Number seven, internal commitment. If there is internal conflict, you can scratch it, homie. It's not going to work. 99% of the people are doing just that. These seven things is what I had to overcome in 2016. These were the seven demons I just got rid of. And if you don't get rid of those seven demons, your life is not going to be successful. Your labor will be in vain because your definition of love is what your subconscious had told you. It's an 8-year-old kid sitting in the seat of your soul telling you what to do. And you're walking around saying, yes, sir, no, sir, because it's your subconscious. And your subconscious got to be changed to Christ conscious. It can't be sub anymore. Your sub, it means below the threshold. That means that you are living below your means because you're living from your subconscious. When I found that out, I got rid of my subconscious. Now, go tell a shrink or a therapist or the Reverend Dr. Bishop that. Watch how they look at you with this awestruckness, because everybody thinks you need to keep your subconscious. I fired mine. I replaced it. I hired a new one. So now I don't oscillate and vibrate out of my subconscious anymore. I don't need it. I replaced it with Christ consciousness. So now I have the mind of Christ. It says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So I don't pray to God no more. I pray as God. Now tell the Reverend Dr. Bishop that. That's a cookie blower. But that's the difference between success and failure. See, what you are doing, you're doing in vain. How do I know? Because I've been doing it for 50-plus years. What did I do? I didn't have no ownership mentality. I didn't own nothing. I did not invest in myself or nobody else. If I walked past a piece of trash in my own yard, I didn't pick it up. Why? I was renting. In my house. So what if something happens? No investment, brother. No investment, sisters. You have to have an ownership mentality. You got to own it. You can't rent anymore. Stop renting your own life. Stop renting your own life. Own it. Why are you waiting on somebody else to tell you what to do? Own yourself, brother. Own yourself, sister. Walk in your authority and in your anointing. I don't give a rip what nobody says. You make a mistake, make it going 100 miles an hour. Ownership. Then you got to be conscientious. Conscientious means that you are totally aware of the price you got to pay before you start. I never did that before. Have you counted costs to see if you got enough duckies to finish what you start? Or you just running around just shooting that stuff. That's what I've been doing. Just running around just starting stuff. Oh, I can start anything, but I can't even finish nothing. Now, this message is for me. I just invited you guys along to listen. So I told God, you got a kid, you got a blank slate to take the biggest 2x4 you can get and bust me upside the head. That's what I pray for. I pray for spiritual awakening. I don't want no wisdom. I don't want no knowledge. I got all the wisdom and all the knowledge I need. I'm not interested in seeing no little green men. I don't want to see no burning bush experience. I don't want to have no angels come down and talk to me. Been there, done that already. bars. Immediate, measurable results. My life is passing me by. So is yours. One day you're going to wake up, you're going to be just like me, staring 60 in the face, and you ain't done shiznit. Because why? You're waiting. What are you waiting for, brother? Oh, I'm waiting to get more gnosis and more knowledge. Well, I got enough gnosis and knowledge for everybody. And I'm telling you, knowledge ain't going to do nothing if you don't have no applied action. That means a plan. What's your plan for 2017? You got a plan? Or you ain't got a plan? And if you got a plan, is it realistic? Is it measurable? Is it immediate, measurable results? Can I see it? Can you show me some proof? You got some tangible results? Is it conscientious? And then number three, guess what's happening, brothers and sisters? Adversity is coming. I don't know if you know how the universe works. It's cyclical. It's just like success, adversity, success, ever. So when you get successful, like today, was it a good day today? Was it a good day yesterday? Okay, you might put your big boy drawers on because guess what? Shizness is showing up. So don't be surprised when it does. And then are you creative? When was the last time you had an original thought? Now be honest. You never, like, turn off the TV, turn off all the books, stop listening to Brother Will, and come up with an original thought. Just take out a piece of paper and a pen, sit in your room in the dark until you have an original thought that nobody else has ever had. You ever had one of those? Yeah. That's called creativity, homie. You can't, without that, you can't be successful. Confidence. Oh, man. Confidence doesn't exist anymore. Everybody's scarred. What are we scarred of? We start off our freaking subconscious because there's something inside of your brain saying you can't do that. Do you know that every decision I made in my life I made out of fear? I was trying not to piss somebody off. Now I want to piss everybody off. Found the truth. Now I'm praying to God that something I say pisses you off today so much that you do the same thing I did. And you say, fuck the world. Now, what does that mean, though, in real life? That means that you have decided to be authentic. That's what it means. It means that you're not going to play anymore. You mean you're going to make decisions from a place of love. Because what that does to your body, what this does to your environment, what that does to people around you, it sets everybody free. Everybody's free now to be authentic. See, everybody's fake because you're fake. Everybody's shallow because you're shallow. Everybody playing church because you playing church. Once you step up, it frees up everybody else in your circle to step up. So the world's waiting on you. God is waiting on you. So I could have did this a long time ago. I could have stepped up and became me. But I wanted to be somebody else. Because, again, I didn't have no self-worth, brother. I had fear of failure and fear of success. Try living in my brain for a while. So I was scared to fail, but I was also scared to be successful. I was afraid to be happy because I didn't see nobody happy growing up. So I thought happiness was like an endangered species. So I say happiness, I say, what is that? That's like seeing a freaking white elephant. I thought they killed all the white elephants, or white or rhino. They used to be, but, you know, we just see them in museums and pictures now. Seeing a successful black man is like seeing a white giraffe. They're freaking so rare, man, you don't see them. So I didn't believe that they existed. So it wasn't even on the table. Happiness wasn't even an option for me. You think that's sad? That is really sad that you don't even go after it. It's so far down the road, you just like, you can see it in the distant future, but it's like, you know, wealth, health, wisdom, positive relationships. Yeah, that's just for other people. It's for the white folks. It's not really for the black folks. That was my mentality. But my subconscious brain was telling me that she's next. Conscious brain finally was telling me, hey, yo, hold up. We've done some research and we found some facts, brother. And we found that the way the universe works, the universe responds to your belief system, not somebody else's. So you mean to tell me the government don't control my life? You mean to tell me that the white man don't control my life? You mean to tell me that the IRS don't control my life? No, sir. They can try, but you can override them with your own disposition. Now, most people don't believe that. They don't have the confidence. and they have not managed, and they have not overcame the internal conflict. So this internal conflict is being manifested as in the form of self-sabotage. So you sabotage your success because internally your subconscious brain says you can't make more than $12 an hour. Then you go actually get a job, and it actually pays you $20 an hour, and it violates your belief system. So you go to work, and you late. You don't do your job. You do this because your subconscious brain says you don't deserve a $20 an hour job, even though you got it. I don't know how you got it. You must have conned somebody, manipulated. Your own brain will talk you out of your own success. I'm not reading something out of a book, brothers. This is real life shizness. So let's say you just luck up by the luck of the draw, and you just, you know, miraculously bump into the guy of your dreams. And guess what? The guy actually likes you, or the girl. What do you think you're going to do? You're going to mess it up. Why? It's not for you. You have not fallen in love with yourself enough so that when you do labor, it is done with a disposition of altruism. So if what you are doing today is not in that disposition, it's not in that mindset, your labor is in vain. I just hate to be the bearer of bad news. I've just been bullied for 50-plus years. Now, you should be saying, okay, Brother Will, you said that a couple of times now. What do you mean by altruism? Because, you know, I'm going to need you to break this down. Well, let's break it down, brothers and sisters. You know, altruism is a word that is the opposite of egoism. And it's interesting because nobody talks about this word. People say love, 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 but nobody talks about altruism. Now, altruism really is the opposite. That really is the goal. That's really what we should be pursuing. That's why nobody's heard about it, because altruism is the opposite of egoism. So let's break it down. Now, egoism is the habit of valuing everything. Make sure you understand what I'm saying now. It is the habit. It is a pattern. The series I did of negative habit patterns, that's called your ego. Now, your ego is you. It's how you see yourself. That's why you got to get rid of it. Because your ego, my brothers, your ego, your subconscious brain is the bad guy. But you love it because it's you. How are you going to give it? You know, the Bible says it this way. Any man who wishes to find his life will lose it. Hold up, time out. He said, any man who loses his life will find it. So you said, I gotta die? Yes. You have to die to yourself. Say that as the Bible says. Craziest things are sliced bread. So that means I have to die. Yes. Because the Bible says I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Okay, if I'm not living, who the hell is living? Okay, the Bible says it this way. For it is Christ who lives in me. So if the Christ, that's the Christos, that means the mindset of altruism. If it ain't in your brain, man, you can kiss the baby. Because guess what? That means the ego there. That means Lucifer is there. That means every decision that you make is going to be based in the ego. And the ego has a habit of valuing everything other than valuing everything only in reference to one's own interest, selfishism. Ego is after one thing only, yourself. Preservation of the past. The ego and that interest isn't going. Ego is fighting you tooth and nail. You're trying to get out the box because everything that you need for life and godliness is outside of the box. Because that's where the real you is at. See, we've been tricked. We think that the ego is the real self, and it's not. The real self is outside of you. So you got to go get it and put it inside of you. So the ego is simply the pursuit of one's own self-centered interest. So the ego simply means self-interest. Now, you should be saying the same thing I said when I first, you know, I started studying. People had you tell me this all the time. I remember with the church, so we give you the term, I need to be like Mother Teresa, right? I need to be like a monk. I need to take a vow of poverty, celibacy. and wrap myself in a sheet, go and hang out in the Himalaya mountains somewhere, stare out in the sun. That's what it means, right? Lack of self? No. See, egoism, brothers and sisters, means that you regard your own interests over or with a disregard. So ego really is a disregard of others. So ego says, I'm going to start a business for myself. Egoism doesn't say, I'm going to start a business to actually be of service to somebody else. That's the ego. See, the ego says, this is how smooth the ego is. The ego says, yeah, I'm going to start a business. Go write a book. Develop a product. Do a show. Just make sure it benefits you, brother, more than it benefits those fools that's listening. That's the ego. The ego says, I got to come out on top. The ego says, I got to win, 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 win. So the ego ain't interested in me. The ego doesn't want me to say anything that's going to benefit you. The ego wants me to say a smooth, slick, charming, you know, line to get you to pay me some money. That's the ego. The ego ain't interested in me saying anything that's going to change your life. See, the ego says bump everybody else. It doesn't really say promote self. It just says the ego is against something. The ego is not for nothing. Please write that down. See, the ego, brothers and sisters, the ego is not really the thing. The ego is the absence of a thing. The ego is the absence of a thing. The ego is like darkness. Darkness is not a thing. Darkness is the absence of a thing. Darkness is not a thing. Darkness is the absence of light. You turn on the light, don't believe you turn off all the lights in your house, and then what do you see? Darkness. Now, turn on all the lights. Where does darkness go? Darkness doesn't exist when there's light. Even at home. When it's night, turn off all the light. Darkness is there, right? So when you turn on the light, darkness is still there. It should still be there. But darkness can't exist in the same space as light. The ego can't exist in the same space as altruism. So we've established what the ego is. Now we've got to break down altruism. See, altruism, brothers and sisters, is a devotion to others. Ego is a devotion to nothing. See, ego ain't really for you. Ego is just against other people. The ego says, I don't like this person. The ego can always tell you what it don't like, but the ego can never tell you what it does like. You know how easy it is for you to write a list of things you don't like? That means you're living in the ego. Now, write a list of 30 things that you like. I bet you it's very hard for you to write down 30 things that you like. Very hard. But let me actually write down 30 things that you hate. Write down 30 foods that you hate. Hard. I mean, easy. But write down 30 foods that you like. Difficult. See, altruism is the opposite of egoism. That's it. The word altruism comes from the word alter. It comes from the word other. See, altruism, brothers and sisters, make sure you understand. See, if you don't labor with an altruistic state of mind, your labor is in vain. So if you're going to work and you don't have this mentality, see, and it's not like it's interesting because it has nothing to do with what you do. You could be a janitor. You could be a zoologist. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. See, nobody told me that. Now, I should have already known it, but I didn't. If your labor is not in love, your labor is in vain. In fact, let me tell you a secret. Don't tell nobody. If anything that you're doing right now is not in love, you're not going to get no results. That's a secret. Don't tell nobody. So you're in a relationship? Or you got a, you know, you got a job? What about your workout or your diet? You're just doing it because you want some results, right? You don't really like eating like that. You don't really like working out. You don't really like what you're doing, but you're just doing it because you want the results. Guess what, my brothers and sisters? Your labor is in vain. So you're in it to win it. That's why you're in it. Yeah, I've been there, done that too. See, if you are in it to win it, you ain't going to get it. You're not going to win it. Because even when you win, you lose. Because as soon as you get it, you quit. Why do people stop doing stuff when they reach their goal? People ask me all the time. You going to the gym? Yes. My children, they ask me all the time. Especially my children's friend. Why are you swole for nothing? They tell me that all the time. Swole. You see, what is he doing? And my children tell them, He can do it. He don't do nothing. He works at a call center. Like, what? And this is back in my USA days. So your dad walking in here looking like little Hercules, and that fool works at a call center. He like all his muscles is going to waste. I love kids, man. Kids, they just say anything. They just honest. So my son's friends, when my sons was in high school, they would come over and they would say, Mr. Rogers, now they would be sitting here and they would work themselves up. And all of my sons, it happened every year. My son's friends come over, or my daughter's little girls, and they come over there, and they would ask my daughter, why's your dad, like, what does he do? Is he like, you know, he's a professional athlete, or, you know, he's a mechanic, or he's construction. Obviously, he works with his hands, and he does something that requires heavy lifting, right? And then my children was telling us, no, my dad works there. He's an insurance agent. He works in a call center. They say, what? So what does he do with all the muscles? So he got all the muscles for nothing? Pretty much. That's been the story of my life, man. Let me make sure y'all understand. So, like, your life will end up to amount to nothing. Meaning, you got a bunch of muscles and you don't freaking use them. It's all for display. It's for show. Altruism is the opposite of that. Altruism means altar. It's like an altar, like going to the altar at church. So why do you go to the altar? When they have an altar call, when you go to the altar, what does the Bible say about the altar? The Bible says if you go to the altar and you have an ought against your brother, it says leave your gift at the altar. Go back to your brother. Ask your brother for forgiveness and then come back to the altar. You can't go to the altar unless you have altruism. The altar, you can't go. It doesn't let you in. So you got money, you got gifts, you got all this stuff. God is interested in your talents or your skills or your mindset or how many other people you impressed. Because if you ain't got a feeling of love for other people, if all you doing is for you, your foe, and no more, do you know the word altar? You know what it really means? I go to dictionary.com and look at the word altar, A-L-T-E-R. Go down to the bottom of the page where it says word origin. Do you know the word altar? Let me read it for you just in case you know, this is the first time you're hearing it. You know the word altar means to change. It means to go past your alias. The word altar means the ego, the fake you. Change it. Go beyond it. Go past it. The word altar comes from the word alias, alien. Interesting, because the Bible talks about that we are aliens. Do you know what the word alien or alias means? It means false. It means the thing, it means to conceal one's identity, an assumed name. What is altruism, brothers? If you are not laboring, you are laboring in vain. The alias means you have concealed your identity. An alias means that you are fake. You're not authentic. Alias means in another way. It means in your own way. It means another else. E-L-S-E. All, which means beyond. S-E means other. It means beyond other. Alias means at another time. It means in another way. Alias. That is the underlining root word for the word alter. What that means, brothers and sisters, is that if you are laboring as a fake person, that means that you are laboring in vain. Now, that makes sense, because if you're laboring as somebody else gets all of your credit. They get all of the work that you've done. Somebody else is reaping the benefits. Who is that somebody else? Your ego. Now, I don't know who that is, but whoever that ego is, that person is getting all your credit. All the money you put in the bank, the ego won't spend it. Not you, because the ego ain't you. So if your labor is not in love, If it's not all, if it's not on the altar, if it's not as an alias, meaning that if you don't go down and get rid of the alias, if you don't get rid of the alien, if you don't get rid of that entity, if you don't get rid of the strong man, if you don't get rid of the strong man, if you don't get rid of that emotion, because if you don't get rid of that energy, if you don't get rid of that entity, that emotion is getting your labor. So that should be a place. Now, I can imagine that Yahushua was like a very stoic individual. Now, when I say stoic, it's not the definition that other people think. When I think of stoic, I'm thinking of somebody who is stoked. Now, when I say stoked, I mean like you like on, but your tenness puts you in such a mental state that you like, you feel invincible. You like a boy, I mean, you like a man playing with the boys. It's like if Michael Jordan in his prime would go and play a high school superstar pickup game with high school players. That's what you should be when you go to work, when you are at your business, when you are at the gym, and when you are in a relationship. That's what you should be. It should be men playing against boys. Because, see, when you are in your lane, when you are in your anointing, when you are in your calling, when you are in your Christ, or when you are christened, that means you got a divine connection to the source. That means that you are a man, little g, God, playing amongst boys. It's like taking candy from babies. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. That's how your life should be. If your life is not like that, you are in your ego. How do you know you're in your ego? Because, again, everything is outside of you. Everything is beyond the self. It's an alias to you. Everything is, again, the word alias, it means another way in another time. An alias, brothers and sisters, simply means it is concealed from you. See, when you are not in your Christ consciousness, you can't see. You're driving and you're flying blind. The ego, now you can see, because the ego is like put a veil or a hex on you. So the ego is operating as you, is manifesting itself through you. Ego is in charge. Because if you don't go to the altar, that means if you don't change, if you don't become different, if you don't become modified, I like that word, if you don't experience a metamorpho, the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you do it. That's what I did. Now, I renewed my mind. What did I do to renew my mind? What exactly, specifically, did I do to renew my mind? You know what I did? I realized. How did I realize? What was my wake-up call? No results. See, it's real easy. When you look at your definition of wealth, and if your definition of wealth is making $10 an hour and you're making $7, then you know that you are falling short from your goal. If your definition of health is for you to weigh 180 pounds, 150 pounds, 120 pounds, if your definition of health is for you to eat healthy, if your definition of health is for you to drink alkaline water, maintain an alkaline environment in your body at least 5 out of the 7 days, you have a cheat day, an off day, but you do whatever, now that's what I do. So if that's my definition of health and I have not achieved it, then I don't have no fruit in that area. And same thing with knowledge and in relationship. So the way that you know that you live within the ego is if your definition, yours, not mine, not the Reverend Dr. Bishop's, yours. You're the director. You are the conductor. You are the maestro. You're the maestro. And you are conducting your own choir. You have your own orchestra. Are you making it a symphony of harmony or a symphony of disharmony? Or is everybody hitting the right notes in the right keys? Or are you just making a bunch of noise? And if you are making a bunch of noise, it's your fault because you are the conductor. Get the choir in order, brother. Get the choir in order, sister. You're the head and not the tail, according to the scriptures. So that means you got to make a change. So altruism simply means time to go to the altar and make a change. Now, the altar is in your head, nowhere else. Now, you can say it's in your heart, but it starts in your head and it trickles down to your heart, and your heart amplifies what's in your head. Altruism, brothers, sisters, is simply a total commitment, a total devotion. It means you've been totally sold out to a principle or a purpose that develops a practice or a pattern and a philosophy that results in a process that produces a product of unselfish devotion to others. Because the Bible says, when they ask Jesus, like, Lord, when did we say, not feed you or and say, wait, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. In other words, have you seen God in the flesh? Let me ask the question again. Have you seen, you personally, have you seen God in the flesh? Now, I've had some people who told me they would ask the question, yes. And I told them, next time you see him, videotape and send it to me. The Bible says no man has seen God. So the only way we see God is in others. So if I want to serve God, all I can do is walk across the street. See my neighbor. Hey, neighbor, how you doing? If I want to talk to God, I go talk to my neighbor. If I want to talk to God, I talk to you. Because God is in you, operating and vibrating as you, and he's manifesting himself through you. So if I want to be effective in the kingdom of God, I got to be effective in your life. So I'm not on this show to try to wax eloquently. I'm not on this show to try to impress you with my linguistical fortitude. That is not why I'm on this show. I am on this show to say something that reaches down and touches your soul. And it changes your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect. And you stop oscillating and vibrating in your ego. And you start oscillating and vibrating in your Christ consciousness. And you find your messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. And you start walking through the valley of shadow and death, and you fear no evil. You realize that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and that all who rise up against you shall fall. You realize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You realize that the lilies and the field and the birds and the air, they don't sow nor reap, and your heavenly Father takes care of them. So why worry about what you shall eat? Why worry about what you shall drink? Do you not know that you're worth more than these? When you realize that your heavenly Father wishes to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that you can ask or think, when you put that in your brain, that's when we're on the same page. Because every day I wake up, that's how I think. So in my world and in my brain, I have a difficulty with people who don't think like that. Because no problem in my life is a problem. It's an opportunity disguised as a problem. So every problem that shows up, I know, okay, this is another test. God trying to see if I'm on my game. Let's see, how do I figure this out? Okay, it's a puzzle. Okay, it's a puzzle. So I went to Oklahoma. Okay, I come back home. The pipe was busted. Water's all over my house. Okay, it's a puzzle. Okay, what am I supposed to do? Okay, yeah, do I freak out? No, that's not an option. Do I panic? No. I go out and borrow some money from people? No. What do I do? Oh, yeah, I remember. That this guy I used to work with, he used to own his own construction company. I had a major impact in his life. I didn't even do nothing. What did I do? I treated him like a man. When everybody else said that he was an inmate, he was a prisoner, he was a loser. I knew this man, and he's on my Facebook page. He sends me messages. He talks to me at least once a month. anything. I don't think I did anything. I just treated him the way I want. I treated him altruistically. This dude can build a house from the ground up. Hey, I called him. Dude came over here, did the estimate. Guess what? Now you're going to call him? Of course I'm going to pay him for his labor. Even if he would do it for free, I wouldn't let him. He has a wife. He got children. He got bills, too. So guess what? Everything worked out exactly like I knew it was going to work out before it happened. So guess what's going to happen tomorrow? Another problem going to show up. Guess what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to use the same altruistic mindset, and I'm going to solve that problem. Now, it may not be solved to somebody else's. Somebody could look at me and say, oh, but Brother Will, man, I don't think you should have done that, brother. I think you should have called a licensed and certified plumber. See, now the old me, when I was young, dumb, and stupid, you're right, brother. And so I'm going to base my life and decision off somebody else's decisions and what somebody else thinks. Them days over. You got to get to that place, brother. You got to get to that place where you follow your heart. You just take your brain with you. And you make sure you live in love and compassion. But you pepper it. You filter it through reason and logic. And you make sure that God has created in you a clean heart and he has renewed the right spirit within you before you start following your heart. How do you do that? You simply do what I did. What did I do? I say, hey, Father, sometimes my decisions are not good. And I need to make better choices and better decisions. So I said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. Take not your anointing from me. Now, that's one of the book of Psalms. I forgot what it is. But, hey, it's scriptural. What does that mean? That means it's universal. So whenever you don't know what to say or what to pray, find scriptures. Why? They've been around a whole lot longer than you. That means that the words have more power. Now, it's better to have something original from your own heart that you can offer to the universe. But if you can't, guess what you do? You take something that has been working for thousands and thousands of years. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. So in conclusion, let me make sure you understand what today's message was all about. Today's message is a very simple message. But because it's so simple, very few people can understand it. Why? God uses the simple to confound the wise. That's how you know that it's of God, because it's always simple. God is never complex. Now, there's a lot of, we can talk particle physics, and it can get very, very complex. The more complex it gets, the more Lucifer is involved. Altruism, very simple. It means you do exactly what the Bible says. It says, you bring your gift, that's you, to the altar. But you have an ought against somebody. I don't know who. I don't know what. And it's probably maybe the person that you have an offense against is your past or the old you. That's who I was pissed off at. I was pissed off because, again, I made bad choices and bad decisions in my life. But the Bible says to leave your gift at the altar. Now, let's read the scripture just to make sure that everybody's on the same page as we get ready to close. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, this is how you want to guarantee that your labor is not in vain. You want to make sure that your efforts are going to be rewarded. You want to make everything that you're doing it in love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. No emotional outbursts, that you're oscillating and you're vibrating, again, in a heightened state of gamma. You're in a gamma wave state. That means that you're in a Christ consciousness state. That means that your brain is oscillating and vibrating on like 75 megahertz. That means that your brain is like, it's like firing, like popcorn going off in your brain. But it's moving so fast. Have you ever seen the spokes in the wheel of a bicycle when it's going fast? That's what happens to the spokes. They disappear. Let me say that again, just in case you miss it. You want to move and you want to vibrate so fast that when people look at you, you look still. Bible says, be still. That means that you transfigured yourself. What Yahushua did on the Mount of Olives, see, people think it means that you do nothing. It means that you're doing so much, that you're moving so fast, that you look like you ain't doing shizness. Have you ever seen the spokes on a tire when it's moving really fast? You can't see them. But put your hand in there. Guarantee you, they're in there. When you oscillate and you vibrate so fast, you make what you look like you are doing easy. And then when somebody else try it, go out there and try to elevate like Michael Jordan. Take those 1-2 steps and then jump. See how high you get. See, Michael Jordan make it look easy, but it ain't. Tiger Woods make what he do look easy. Venus and Serena, they make what they do look easy. See, when you're oscillating and you're vibrating and you're anointing and in your gift and in your purpose, you make it look easy. You make it look effortless. You make it look like you're standing still, but you're moving fast. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 says it this way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there, once you get there, you remember that your brother has something against you. Notice, you didn't have something against your brother. Your brother has something against you. Notice you innocent. Notice you ain't do nothing. Notice life is good in your world. But notice what the scripture says. If you know your neighbor's pissed off, if I know that I did something wrong, my dog, you know, went into the neighbor's yard, pooped in his grass, and I know the neighbor's, he works on his grass 24/7. I know it. But you know what? And you know what? Hey, whatever, dude. It's just a dog. I ain't worried about it. But I know in my heart. The scripture said, if you know. It says, therefore, remembering that your brother has something against you. Verse 24, Matthew 5, 24. Leave your gift. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Verse 25. Reconcile quickly with your adversary while you are still on the way to court. Otherwise, he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. All of this means if you don't deal with your thoughts, the negative thoughts in your head, now remember, you're not thinking the thoughts are coming. You ain't ordering them. Something happens attacking your gift. The Bible says, hey, deal with it. Reconcile it quickly. Otherwise, your adversary, we know who the adversary is, guess what he's going to do? He's going to continue. And he's going to continue until he gets you to the place where you start to judge yourself. And then you start to talk down to yourself. And then you throw your own self in your own prison. It's all in your own head. So you mean to tell me something happened and it keeps coming and you keep thinking about it and you don't reconcile quickly. Thought coming into my head, Brother Will, you should feel guilty because this man bumped you. I ain't feeling guilty about nothing. It's gone. It's done with. I'm moving on. But you don't do that. You keep hanging it on and say, oh, man, I'm going to beat myself up. Why did I do this? I don't understand why this is happening to me, why I keep thinking this. Maybe I did do something wrong. Verse 25 in the New Living Translation says it this way. Matthew 5, 25, when you are on your way to court with your adversary, notice your adversary is with you, head. Your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge. You're going to start judging yourself. Who would then hand you over to the officer. Now, remember, the officer, that means your office. And you're going to be thrown in prison. That means a prison. That means a prism. That means a cell. That means a small box of your own stinking thinking. You're going to get locked. You're going to lock your own self up in jail. You're going to judge yourself. You're going to abandon your office. And you're going to put yourself in a pattern where you can't fulfill your purpose. And then it's a self-perpetuating environment that you can't get out of. All because you didn't do what? You didn't settle matters quickly.
Remember in the book of Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians, it says that the fiery darts, he said, put on the full armor of God because the enemy, the adversary, he's firing fiery darts. Those darts represent thoughts. Thoughts are coming, brother. You're judging yourself, and you're leaving your, you're handing your gift over to somebody else. And then that puts you in a different pattern or prison. Brothers and sisters, yeah, we don't want to do that. All you got to do is one day, love what you do, do what you love. If you do not move in the direction of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control in 2017, you will find you judging you. Nobody else. It's just you, your four, and no more. It's going to be, it's all in your head. You is going to be the officer that put you inside of your own prison that's going to limit you from being successful. I've been doing it for 50 years. I've been having a fear of failure and a fear of success, so I was paralyzed. And I had this internal conflict because an eight-year-old kid was telling me what to do. So I was self-sabotaging my own success, but I did seven things. I became an owner. I started finishing what I was starting. I started being comfortable. I made myself comfortable with doing shows like this and being uncomfortable. Now I'm comfortable with being uncomfortable. I became more purpose-based with my creations. I became more confident. I became the manager of my own household. I started managing my mind, my will, my emotion, my imagination, and my intellect. And last but not least, I made an internal commitment to oscillate and vibrate in Christ. That means I live my life in love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. If you love what you do, you will be successful. But if your labor is not in love, your labor will be in vain. Make sure when you labor that you labor in love. My brothers, my sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seize, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your Inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Like a dreamer in a spell. my brothers and they beating them in jail. I don't know what you've been saying, but my vision is to fail. Cause this dreaming is the reason I ain't breathing with this hell. They said I wanna go and run and gunning with the team. They come up with a ghetto getting money, grubbing schemes. I know it's just a dream, cause brothers gotta wake up. It's all about the presentation when you about to take stuff. Delusions, dreams, it really doesn't matter. You better get your energy and put it in the ladder. Life is just a chance for you to show what you made out of. Life is just a chance for you to
what?
Show.
Oh,
but you can't.
Huh?
Cause you're still dreaming, man.
Still dreaming.